Sugand of Lamed Vav Mer Aleph equates various aspects of the mitzvah of Orla together with the chiyuv of bracha. Orla, of course, applies to peiros, and the Gemara says that the same should be true regarding determining when a bracha of Bori Pri Ha'etz is in fact recited. The Gemara quotes right, the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav that it's slav shel Orla in Chutz Laretz. If you're dealing with Orla's Chutz Laretz, so it would depend. If you're talking about the vyonos, the berries themselves, so then a person is not allowed to eat it, and therefore zorek es havyonos. However, ochel es tafriskim, the outer husk, that is considered to be mutter ba'achila. The Gemara says, according to Rav, that this tells us that the avyonos are considered to have the status of a pri, but that's not true of the outer husk of the kafrisim. Again, Rashi alludes to the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches we've discussed in the past, and that is the status of Orla in Chutz Laretz. Orla in Eretz Yisrael, obvious is a din d'oraisa. The Sugya in Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches tells us that Orla in Chutz Laretz is a halacha. And two different possibilities, whether it is a din d'rabanan, or whether in fact it's considered to be halacha Moshe Misinai. Rashi will tell us that the assumption of our Sugya is here we're dealing with the din d'rabanan. In fact, the Gemara applies the principle at the bottom of the daf of kol ha-meikel ba'aretz, halacha kamoso b'chutz laretz. But as mentioned, the two possibilities, that sugi and kedushin, to what extent is it halacha Moshe Misinai, to what extent it is considered to be a din d'rabanan. We've also pointed out in the past that you know two different types of halacha Moshe Misinai, and Reb Chaim in Hilchos Machalos Asuros in Perek Yud writes that this is a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim, because the Gemara just mentions as an ar sugya that Orla applies in the Chutz Laretz. What about when it comes to Revai? Revai is not explicit in the Gemara, and the Rambam writes the following Kiddush that Orla yes, but Revai no. And the Rambam quotes the Gaonim that disagree and maintain that is not true, that what is true of Orla, if Orla exists in Chutz Laretz, so therefore the same is true of Revai as well. And Reb Chaim questions, what exactly is the basis of the machlokas? Do you have a right to assume that the halacha Moshe Misina of Orla would extend to Revai as well? And there Reb Chaim describes that one could envision a halacha Moshe Misina in two very different ways. One is a halacha mechadeshes, where the Torah is telling us a new concept that is only indirectly related to that which is found explicitly in the Torah. Other possibility is that halacha Moshe Misina simply expands that which exists as a din daraisa. Without the halacha Moshe Misina, I would have said that the pasuk of Kisa Vol Aretz limits Orla to Eretz Yisrael. And yet the halacha Moshe Misina dictates that no, what applies in Eretz Yisrael extends and applies to Chutz Laretz as well, but one has a right to equate the dine Orla in Eretz Yisrael to that of Chutz Laretz. That apparently is the view of the Gaonim, and therefore what is true of Orla is true of Revai as well. According to the Rambam, that is not true. This is halacha mechadeshes, and therefore these are two very distinct categories, Orla in Eretz Yisrael, Orla in Chutz Laretz, and therefore one does not treat this as an extension of the din d'oraisa, and therefore only Orla, not Revai. Reb Chaim points out, if you look in the Rambam Ozol in Perek Yod, the Rambam describes what is the onesh for one who violates Orla's Chutz Laretz. It's halacha Moshe Misinai, but the Rambam writes there's no malchus d'oraisa, there's no malchus mardos d'rabanan. And there also we pointed out that if the halacha Moshe Misinai is just expanding and supplying what is the din d'oraisa in a further circumstance, then one could envision malchus, even a halacha Moshe Misinai. However, the Rambam sheet is this is a halacha mechadeshes with those two napkaminas, or the yes and Revai no. And furthermore, there is no malchus d'oraisa, just as generally, there is no malchus on halacha Moshe Misinai, which is mechadeshes. So again, that's the issue that Rav Yehuda writes the name of Rav. If you're dealing with the case of Tzlav, Shal Orla, what is its status in Chutz Laretz? So here, the Gemara writes there's a difference between what is considered to be the pre of the Tzlav, what is not, and the distinction between the case of Avyanos as opposed to the Kafrisim. So the Gemara says that this is difficult in light of the Braisa, because the Braisa tells us that the Bracha Bari Pri Ha'etz is recited both on the Avyanos, on the berries, as well as on the husk of the Kafrisin. So if that is case, doesn't that indicate that even the Kafrisin has the status of a Peri? So that's the Kasha of the Gemara, and apparently you see an implied Chiddush of the Gemara, and that is what is true of Arla is also true of Echiyu Bracha. Otherwise, why would the Gemara feel that this is any stira whatsoever? Perhaps one could argue that what determines that bracha and the text of the bracha is quite different from the dine arla, but the Gemara maintains apparently that this equation is intact, and this is, will soon become critical for the point of the Rosh. So the Gemara answers that this is, in fact, a machlokes tanoim, because if you look in the Mishnah in Maestros, in Perek Dalid Mishnah Bav, there the Mishnah tells us a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Here, when it comes to not orla, not bracha, but rather when it comes to Maestros, what part of the tzlaf is within the chiyuv of Maestros? So Rabbi Eliezer says it applies to the tamaros, it applies to the evyonos, it applies to the kafrisin. According to Rabbi Eliezer, all those different parts of the tzlaf are included in Maestros. There is a chiyuv hafrasha. And Rabbi Akiva maintains that it's not true, only the evyonos bovad, the berries of the tzlaf. Then one must be mafresh Maestros, but that is not true when it comes to the tamaros, when it comes to those date-like growths that you have of the tzlaf, or when it comes to the kafrisin, the outer husks. So the Gemara says, apparently, what is true of Arla is true of Meiser, what is true of Bracha. Rabbi Akiva maintains this is limited to Avionos, and that is exactly then the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Marav and Ar Sugya. And this is against Rabbi Eliezer that even writes the Kafrisin is true as well. So the Gemara comments as follows, that Rabbi Yehuda Marav follows the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and what right did he have to follow the Shita of Rabbi Akiva? After all, he pointed out, it's Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So that's where the Gemara says the following, that no, the kol ha-mekel va'aretz, halacha kamosel b'chutz la'aretz. And therefore, this is a machlokes time in Eretz Yisrael itself, one has the right to go in to be mekel, and that's where Rashi points out that kevon de'ena min ha-Torah, so therefore halachachar ha-mekel, since we're dealing with orlas chutz la'aretz, which is eno min ha-Torah, in such a case, we have a right to assume the coolness machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. There is a piece, we'll have to see, right, the Tosus and Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Beis, but there is a comment that the Chazon Ish has, it's found in Kilayim, in Siman Aleph Osches, where the Chazon Ish describes the principle of Kol HaMekel Ba'aretz, Halacha Kamosa B'chutz La'aretz, or the Halacha Kedibri HaMekel Ba'ovel. Is that just simply a function of that which is Divrei Sofrim Halacha Achar HaMekel? Just as a suffix drabanan is lakula, and at times we are no to lakula when it comes to dinim drabanan. So therefore, this is just a corollary that since avelus is drabanan, so therefore halavik kedu hamekel, or quotes our gemara that kol hamekel ba'aratz lacha kamosa b'chutz la'aretz. Is that just simply because, as Rashi says, enam in hatorah, or should one assume that these are independent concepts? That it's similar, but there certainly are distinctions between kol hamekel ba'aretz, lacha kamosa b'chutz la'aretz, as opposed to the broadest principle of a suffik drabanan l'kula. We'll see on Lamed Vav Lamed Beis, the Tosus limits the application of kol hamekel ba'aretz. Apparently it's not just simply a restatement of the case of sveika drabanan, which is in fact l'kula. So the Gemara raises the following issue, that should we assume, again, v'neima, that Rabbi Yehuda assumes halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, that kol hamekel ba'aretz is halacha b'chutz la'aretz. The Gemara says the following, that perhaps, hava amina, we could have just simply thought the following. Maybe this is only true, and here there are two girsos in the Gemara. Our girs in the Gemara is hanemi ligabi ma'aser ilan. Maybe would have thought this is only true when it comes to ma'aser ilan. Why is that true? Because ba'aretz gufa d'rabanan. Here our Gemara says explicitly, that if we didn't have the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, if all he said was the halach is like Rabbi Akiva, maybe would have said the following, that this is a kula, specifically when it comes to Maiser Ilan, because after all, Maiser Ilan, even in Eretz Yisrael itself, is only drabanan. But when it comes to Arla, which is Daraisa, maybe then we would not say that this is mutter at all. So therefore, Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, that even when it comes to the case of Tzlaf Shel Arla, even in that case, Ochel Es HaKafrisin. So Rashi points out, you see explicitly in our Gemara, that the Chiyuv of Maiser from Ilanos, from Peros, even in Eretz Yisrael, is only a din Drabanan. How can this be? Rashi writes, Shahatara lo Chiyuv la'aser, ela dogam tirush v'itzer, Rashi writes in our Gemara, that when it comes to the chiyuv of Chumas and Maisos Daraisa, it's only Dagan Tirosh Veitzar. In other words, the Chumas Peros is only a din Drabanan. According to Argirs in the Gemara, it's explicit. The Gemara says that Ani Mili Gabe Maiser Ilan, De Ba'aretz Gufa, Drabanan. That's exactly what Rashi maintains here. And we mentioned earlier, Shirin, we did this again, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. That's what Rashi writes in the very beginning of Meseches Kedushin as well. But here there are two other shittas. We pointed out the shita of the Rambam that disagrees, and that the Rambam maintains that Shumas Peros is in fact Daraisa. Yirakos is a din derabanan, but Shumas Peros is in fact a din Daraisa. It's not limited to Dagon Tirosh Vitsa. We pointed out the third shita, and that is the shita of the Ravid in the Chibur, which is called Kosov Sham, and then of Meseches Chulin, where the Ravid comes up with a very great Kiddush, that Peros has a somewhat intermediate status. On the one hand, the Chiyuv Hafrasha in the Isser Tevel is only Drabanan. However, when one is Mafrish, it is considered to be Truma Daraisa. The possibility of a Chalos Truma without an Isser of Teva, that's Mufurish in the Raiva Shita. Not only does this apply, as we discussed in our earlier Shum, when it comes to Shibolim, for example, where if a person simply is Mafrish before Miruach and Riyas Pnei Habayis, but even if you have him in where there's no possibility at all of ever becoming Tevel Daraisa, nonetheless, one can envision a Chiyuv of Hafrasha. So if you assume is Rashi Shita, so you understand very well, the Gemara writes explicitly, Meiser Ilan, which in Eretz Yisrael is only Drabanan. And even according to the Raiva, this is true. Good, there's a Chalos Hafrasha, but the Chiyuv to do so is only Drabanan. The Ritva points out that there is a different Girsa in our Gemara, right? And that's the difference of a single word. Our Gemara says that Hani Mile Gabe Meiser Ilan. The Ritva, Girsa, does not have the word Ilan. The Ritva says that Hani Mila Inyan Meiser. Right? Maybe you would have thought that this kula is only when it comes to Meiser. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, it's only Drabanan. In other words, Bizman Hazeh. That the Chiyuv of Shumas and Meiseros Bizman Hazeh is only a din Drabanan. Meiser Bizman Hazeh is only Drabanan. The Gemara is not telling us Meiser Ilan. The Gemara is saying Meiser in general is only a din Drabanan. Koshav Shah, that would fit the Rambam Shita. That in principle, that Meiser, when it comes to Peros, is in fact Daraisa, but the Rambam writes that you can't have Yoba Bezman Hazeh, because Yoba requires Kol Yoshve Aleha. And the same thing is true when it comes to Shemitah, and the Rambam strongly implies that the same thing applies when it comes to Chumas and Meiseros. That Chumas and Meiseros Bezman Hazeh is only a din Drabanan, not because we lack Kedusha Saretz, that's the Rambam in Perek Vav Hochos Beis HaBechira, that no, the Kedusha Saretz in principle is in fact in place, and that certainly is true of Daraisa. However, the Rambam writes that you need the response of Knesset Yisrael, Kol Arova B'nai Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, the mitzvah Satuli Yisbaretz are only a din Drabanan. That's the Chiddush that the Gemara writes, according to the Girsa of the Ritva, that maybe one would have thought that this Chiddush is simply a detail within Meiser, but cannot necessarily be extended to Arla, so that is exactly the Chiddush that Rav Yudah Marav tells us, that Slav Shal Arla Chutz Laretz, Ochles Ab Kafrisim, because after all, right, we do not necessarily equate Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz when it comes to the Chiyuv of Arla. Okay, so you see from our Gemara that regarding this case of Kafrisim, the outer Hux, according to Rav Yekiva, it's Potter Mimaiser, it's Mutar Mishum Arla, and therefore the bracha is not the bracha bore pri ha'etz. It is not considered to be a pri. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, he would disagree on all three counts. Chayav ha'maiser, there is an isra of arla, and the bracha is bore pri ha'etz because it has a shem pri. And the Gemara seems to maintain that equation, that what is true of arla is true of bracha, is true of maiser. There is, however, the following difficulty even looking at the Gemara itself. This is what the Rashba points out. The Braisa in the Resha mentions the following, that al mine nitzva, when a person goes ahead and makes a bracha on the produce of the nitzva, of the caper, so here, the Gemara explains the following, al ha'olim va'al ha'tamaros, when it comes to the olim, when it comes to the tamaros, there you make a bracha of borei pri ha'adama. So here, when it comes to the nitzvah, on the olim, on its leaves, you make a bracha of borei pri ha'adama. That's explicitly what the Braisa says. The Rashba Rabbarah points out the following chiddush. What about when it comes to maaser? Certainly, ein ha'olim is asrin klal. The Rashba points out there's no chiyuv maaser from the olim, You have to give Maaser from the leaves? Certainly not. The fact that there is no Chiyuv Maaser, that shows that lo chashiv afilu ki yerek, that you don't even treat it as Yerek is concerned. But yet you do find that the Brisa here tells us that there is a bracha of Borei Pri Adama. So already you do see, not as far as Pri Ha'etz, but at least as far as Pri Adam is concerned, that what is true of Maaser is not necessarily true as far as bracha is concerned. Because there's no Chiyuv Maaser from the Alaya Mitzvah, and yet the bracha is not a bracha shako, but the bracha is Borei Pri Adama. So the Rashba already points out the following, that apparently you see that the Inyan bracha, Kevan de Misane, since the person is in fact Nene, even from the leaves, and furthermore, Vinate Adaita Dahani, and when a person goes out and plants that bush, so therefore the intent is to utilize it in all of its forms, even to use the Alaya Mitzvos in such a case, therefore you recite a bracha, Borei Pri Adama. So even though, in terms of the first issue of the Gemara, the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara assumes as a Debra Pashut, what is true of Arla is true of Bracha, is true with Maaser, the Rashba writes that it's clear that this equation is not entirely true, and you see that from the Reisha of the Braisa, that Al Ha'olim Va'al HaTamaros, you recite a Bracha Borei Pri Ha'adam. The Rashba continues and writes a further Kiddush, citing the Shita of the Ravid, where the Ravid writes the following, that in the case of Kafrisin, the husks of the berries of the Tzlaf, even though there is a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer regarding Maisin, regarding Arla, but nonetheless, everyone agrees that the bracha is Borei Pri Ha'etz. The Maskana, the Ravid writes a very great Kiddush, that we have a right to separate out the case of Maaser from the Chiyuv of Bracha. The Rashba pointed out, you see that's true from Chol Min and Itzvah. The Rashba then quotes the view of the Ravid that points out that Lamaskana, even when it comes to Kafrisim, the Bracha is considered to be a Bracha Borei Pri Ha'etz, right? Despite the fact that whether you're a Chayiv or Potter and Maaser is considered to be the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and even according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, but nonetheless there is a Birchas Ha'etz. Furthermore, if you look at the Rush in our sugya, the Rush here in Perek Vav in Simin Gimel, the Rush quotes the view of the Halachos Gedolos. The Halachos Gedolos is discussing a case of the Shkedim Hamarim. We referred to this earlier. What bracha do you recite? So the Halachos Gedolos writes that Shkedim are considered to be Pri Ha'etz. And even if you're dealing with Shkedim Marim, but nonetheless, the bracha is a Birchas Ha'etz. So the Rush raises the following kasha, that how can that be? If you're dealing with those bitter types of Shkedim, the Rush cites the Gemara in Chulin and Dav Chafeim and Beis, that Shkedim Hamarim are Pturim Imaiser. So the Gemara says that it's Potim in Hamaiser. And our Gemara says, what is true of Arla is true of Bracha, is what is true of Maaser. So if it's Potter min HaMaaser, and our Gemara equates the Chiyuv Bracha with the Chiyuv Hafrasha, so how can the Bahag say that the Bracha and Shkedim Hamarim is the Birchas Ha'etz? That's the Kasha that the Rosh raises. Then the Rosh continues, and the Rosh writes the following, maybe one could distinguish between the Chiyuv Bracha and the Chiyuv Hafrasha, the Chiyuv of Maaser. And the Raya that the Rosh brings is the following. When it comes, as we mentioned, to the Alei Tzlaf, there is no Chiyuv Maaser. The fact that there's no Chiyuv Maaser means that it's not even considered to be as a Yerek, because regarding Yerakos, there is a Chiyuv Hafrasha. And yet, the bracha on the Leih HaTzlaf, we just learned, is Borei Pri Ha'adama. So the Rosh writes that you see that we don't equate bracha with the Chiyuv of Maaser. So that, he says, is the answer to the Halachos Gedolos. That even though the Gemara writes in Chulin that the Shkedim Marim are Potter Min Hafrasha, but nonetheless, right, the bracha can still be a bracha Borei Pri Ha'adama. That's what the Rosh writes. So if you look at the Madani Yantif on the Rush and Oz Dalit here in our sugya, Madani Yantif points out, yeah, but that's also difficult in light of our Gemara. Because our Gemara is discussing the case of the Kafrisin. What is the status of the husk? And here the Gemara writes, isn't it clear that what is true of Bracha is true of Maaser? And therefore the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is going to be relevant to Bracha as well. So the Rush leaves that hanging. The Rush quotes the Halachos Gedolos when it comes to Shkedim that you split. The Rush writes, how can you split? Don't you see from our Sugya Kafrisin that what is true is one is true of the other? And then the Rush writes, no, you see you don't split. Baharaya Aleitzlav. Aleitzlav is an indicator that what is true of Bracha is not true when it comes to Maaser. Yes, the Manayantiv writes, the Rush just leaves us hanging. So what do you do with our Gemara? What do you do with that particular case? What exactly is the Koveya in our Gemara of Bracha? And what exactly is the definition of Peros, even when it comes to Arla? So if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, in Peraches Halachahe, the Rambam quotes a fascinating machlokes, Gaonim. And that is regarding the following, Hakanim Hamesukanim. If you have sugar cane, the Rambam writes, Shesoch den osam uvashtim imeyem, you go ahead and you squeeze and you boil it to extract, right, the sugar product. And the Rambam writes, and it dries out, and it's similar to salt, it resembles salt, now you have a solid. So when you have sugar, derived certainly from the eitz, from the kanim, what exactly is its bracha? So the Rambam cites a machlokes, haga'onim, that the view of kol haga'onim, the Rambam writes, is borei pri ha'adamah. And then the Rambam writes, however, umiktsa samru, however, there is a minority view among the Gaonim that it should be a borei pri ha'etz. So the Rambam, and again, in Chesed, Yevachos Brachos, quotes the machlokes ha'gaonim, that Rav Gaonim assume the bracha is borei pri ha'dama, the miktsas amru, the Rambam writes, a borei pri ha'etz. What exactly is the basis, right, of that machlokes? So if you look at the Chidushi Ramban in Arsugin, the Ramasil Uleinyin, the Ramban writes the following in the name of the Halachos Gedolos. The Israbanon, that Sukkar u'Kenei Sukkar, is a Borei Pri Hadam. One possibility, that's what the Rambam calls the Shitas Kol HaGaonim, is that on Sukkar u'Kenei HaSukkar, the Bracha is, right, Adama. Why is that true? The Lashon Ramban is the following. That Lav Mishum Desvir Lei Dekon Lav Eitzu. It's not that a kun is not considered to be an eitz. Of course it's an eitz. Right? The cane is considered to be an eitz. Ela afogav the eitzu, the Ramban writes, kevan delav peri kamafik, since it is not a fruit which is produced, and velo ka achlinan pera ela eitz, we don't go ahead and eat the pri ha-eitz, but rather the eitz itself. So therefore, the brachi is one of borei pri ha-adama. The Ramban writes that according to the Shita of the Gaonim, in order to recite the bracha borei pri ha'etz, it must be a pri ha'etz in the following sense. It must be that which is a pri hayotze min ha'etz. So if the etz will produce a pri, as opposed to that which is migufo shel etz, a tsuras ha'pri hayotze min ha'etz, on that you recite the birchas ha'etz, and that certainly would not be true of the sukkar ukenei ha-sukkar. And the view of the mixas ha-gaonim is that that's not true. That kol ha-godol ba-eitz, it's not that there is a pre which is produced independent of the eitz itself, but rather any growth, right, of the eitz, which is normally eaten, on that you recite a bracha, bari pri ha-eitz. That's how the Ramban explains this machlokes ha-gaonim. So you wouldn't refer to the sugar that is produced by the tree as being a pri independent of the eitz, but rather the very eitz itself is processed in order to produce the sugar, So in such a case, the Ramban writes that that is in fact a machlokes. Do you require a pre hayotzi min ha'eitz? Or do we assume that no, that kol ha'gadol ba'eitz? Any part of it, obviously, any part which is ra'i la'achila, that can warrant a birchas ha'eitz. If you look in the Beis Yosef, here in Hilchos Brachos and Siman Reish Dalet, the Beis Yosef writes a similar case regarding ha'ochel vered. The Beis Yosef quotes two days in the Kolbo. If a person will go ahead and eat, again, not the pre ha'eitz, but the vered, right, part of the growth, part of the flowering product of the eitz, so what bracha do you recite? If you require an independent pre hayotzim and ha'eitz, we wouldn't consider the vered to be pre ha'eitz. But the Beis Yosef writes that if the bracha bara praise is recited on anything that is Raya l'achila, derech achila, part of the eitz, in such a case, then therefore that in fact would be covered. So the Beis Yosef quotes Tkudeos regarding the case of ha'ochel vered, right, parallels the Tkudeos of the Ramban regarding the case of sukkar or kneha sukkar. Is it part of the eitz? Absolutely yes. Is it a pre which is produced by the eitz? Certainly not. And those are the Tkudeos. That's what the Ramban expresses, the Tkudeos that the Ramban quotes. Whether the bracha is considered to be an eitz, or whether it's considered to be that which is in adama. The Beis Yosef mentioned, writes this, in Siman Reish Dal of Hilchos Brachos, and if you look in Yoradei, in Siman Reish Sadi Beis, the Beis Yosef has two parallel deos when it comes to the chiyuv of Orla as well. That verin that the Beis Yosef discussed in Reish Dal, Machlokes Rishonim, whether the bracha is ala eitz ala dama, because it doesn't have a tsuras ha-pri hayotzim and ha-eitz, but yet it was part of that which is godel ba-eitz. The Beis Yosef quotes in Yoradea, the machlokes, the Rashba, and the Ravid, whether vered is chayiv in orla, or whether it's not. The Beis Yosef quotes, right, the sheet of the Rashba, that yes, in fact, it is chayiv in orla, because it's part of the eitz, and the eitz, that which is Raya L'Achila, is Chayim Ba'arla. And the Beis Yosef continues and quotes the sheet of the Ravid that no, that there's no Arla when it comes to that part of the eitz. It's only if you have a Surah Sapri Hayotzim in the eitz. Just like the Bracha is a Birchas Ha'eitz, the same thing is true when it comes to the Chiyuv of Arla as well. So you have the Machlokas are shown regarding Dinei Brachos, whether the bracha of Bara Praetz is determined by, right, that which is Yod Siman Ha'etz, that requires an independent pri, or anything which is considered to be Chelek Min Ha'etz, which is Raya L'Achila, in such a case that is true. And we pointed out that this is also the case when it comes to Arla, that you have those two deos as well. The Beis Yosef now discusses that again in Reish Tari Beis. And now just a further marmakam. If you look in the tour, in Reish Tzadid Aleph, the Torah now discusses the case of our Gemara, the Tamaros Shel Tzlaf. If you have the Tzlaf bush, and the Tamaros of our Gemara is like a growth, it's called Tamaros because it resembles a date-like growth that comes out of the Tzlaf. So the Torah points out the following, that is Asr Mishum Arla. That's the day of the tour. And other Rishonim, the Ra'ar, right? No, that is not true. That there is no Chiyuv of Arla regarding the Tamaro Shel Tzlaf, because again, it's Lav Peri, the Inyan Arla. Right? That's not considered to be a pre. That's considered to be, right, again, part of the growth of the Tzlaf itself, but it's not considered to be an independent pre, and therefore, the machlokas Rishonim, whether that is chayiv and orla, and whether it is not. So the sheet of the Ramban, as we pointed out, in our sugya, maintains that on the tomorrow Shel Tzlaf you don't recite a birchas ha'eitz, because that is considered to be part of the gufo Shel Ilan. And the tomorrow Shel Tzlaf, according to the tour, where it's chayiv and orla, right? That is because, true, it is not considered to be an independent pre, right? But nonetheless, it's considered to be part of Hagodol Va'etz, and therefore anything which is part of the tree that is Ra'eh L'Achila, in such a case, that is Bechlal Arla. So these various examples, the Rambam when it comes to the case of Sukkah or Kenei Sukkah, and that which the Ramban discusses, and the case of the Beis Yosef regarding Vered, and the case of the Tur regarding Tomorrow Shel Slav, the common link in all these cases is that these are not considered to be that which has an independent Surah Hapri aside from the Eitz, but yet at the same time certainly it is something which is eaten, which grows from the tree. In such a case, is that sufficient for the Chi of Arla? Is that sufficient for the Bracha of Borei Pri HaEitz? If you require, for example, a Tzura Sapri HaYotzim and HaEitz, in such a case then, that's the case of the Onim regarding Sukkah, that no, the Bracha is Borei Pri HaDama. The same parallel the Beis Yosef has when it comes to the Vered. That is the Chiddush that the Ramban has when it comes to Tzmuras HaTzlaf, that is not considered to be Arla. If, however, you argue that that's not true, that Kol HaGodol Va'etz is considered to be sufficient, that's the view of the Mikzas HaGaonim that the Rambam quotes regarding the sugar case, and that's the case of the Rashba that writes that the Vered is Chayiv in Ola, and that is the case of the Tur that writes the same thing should apply when it comes to the Tomorrow Shel Slav as well. So in these cases, you have a consistent machlokas as how it is that one should define Pri HaEitz. The first possibility, Tzura Sapri Hayotzim and Ais, or whether or no, the Kol HaGodol Va'etz is considered to be that which is sufficient. Now, our Gemara tells us the following. When you have the case of the Tomorrow Shel Slav, when you have those date-like growths, here our Gemara writes the following. The Bracha is Bore Pri Hadama. Why is the Bracha Bore Pri Hadama on Tomorrow Shel Slav? If you hold, like that first possibility, that the definition of Pri HaEitz is that which has a Tzuras HaPri, HaYotzim in HaEitz, the view of the Ramban, the view of the Ravid, the view of Rav HaGaonim that the Rambam quotes, knew you understand very well that this is not considered to be Pri HaEitz. The Tomorrow Shel Slav are not considered to be Pri HaEitz. And therefore, our Gemara says that the Bracha is considered to be that which is Borei Pri Adama. If, however, you assume, right, the second possibility, and that is Kol HaGodol Va'etz. So if that is true, so then why does our Gemara say on the Tomorrow Shel Slav, the Bracha is one of Borei Pri Adama? If the Tur writes, for example, that the Tomorrow Shel Slav are Chayiv Ba'arla, because it's treated as Pri HaEitz, so why does our Gemara assume that the Bracha is one of a Birchas Adama? So again, two possibilities in terms of how one should be Magdir Pri HaEitz. Now, plugging this into our Gemara, the Gemara says Tomorrow Shel Slav, the Bracha is a Birchas Adama. So if you hold as the first possibility, then very well, it's not called Pri HaEitz. And that will be true when it comes to Orla, and when it comes to Meiser, and when it comes to Bracha. But if you assume that's not true, you have a broader definition of Pri HaEitz. Anything that emanates from. So therefore, why is it that the Bracha is a Birchas Adama? So if you look in the Tur has to answer this question, no? The Tur is the one that maintains that the Tzmuros HaTzlaf are Chayiv and Arlo. Yet our Gemara says that the Bracha is a Birchas HaAdama. So why should that be? So if you look in the Tur in Simen Reish Beis, the Tur suggests the following Chiddush. That there are many different parts of the Tzlav. The Tzlav has the leaves and the tomorrows, those date-like growths, and it has the evyonos that are the berries. So the Torah writes the following chiddush, that even if the tamaros are chayiv in orla, because in essence it is a pri, but the language of the Torah is she'enon ikar hapri. She'enon ikar hapri. Everyone will agree that the tamaros is not the primary fruit of the tzlav. When we are obligated to recite a special birchas hodah, avabracha bar priya eitz, so the Torah writes the following chiddush, that is only on the primary fruit of that min. So therefore, there's no contradiction at all to assume that tomorrow ser chayiv in arla, as the Torah writes in Reish Tali Dalet, but yet our Gemara writes, right, that the bracha is a bar priya dama. Because not all pri ha'eitz have a bracha bari pri ha'eitz. Only that where the Torah writes that is ikar ha'pri. So in the case of the tzlaf, that would only apply to the avyonos. Avyonos is considered to be the primary fruit of the tzlaf. And even if there are other more secondary types of fruit, in such a case, that has a birchas ha'adama. So a chiddush, right, according to the view of the Torah, that as far as the bracha is concerned, the birchas ha'eitz is relegated to the ikar ha'pri, the pri ha'choshuv biyoser ba'oso ha'min, its most prominent fruit, the primary fruit, and therefore, there's no necessary contradiction between the case of arla as opposed to the case of hechiyu bracha. That's the chiddush that the Torah points out. So very simply, in understanding our Gemara, where the tomorrow shall slav, the bracha is a birchas adama. If you assume the first possibility, the Rambam, the Ravid, very simply, it's not a pri. So obviously, right, it's a birchas adama. According to the Torah, no, despite the fact that it is a pri, but yet the bracha, bar priya eitz, is only recited on the ikar ha'pri, shaboso amin, and therefore, the bracha is a birchas adama. See, this will help us, right, understand the view, right, of the Rush. The Rush quotes again the view of the Halachos Gedolos, that if you have Shkei Demarim, you recite a bracha bar pi ha'eitz. The chiddush the Rush points out is the following. Yeah, but this is something the Gemara Nechulin says on Dav Chafei is potter min ha'maisen. So how can you have a birchas ha'eitz if something is potter min ha'maisen? Because don't you see the Rush says from our Gemara of Kafrisin, from the husks, that the two should go hand in hand. That if it's potter min ha'maisen, therefore you don't recite a bracha bar pi ha'eitz. The Rush then shifts gears and says, no. You see from the case of the Olin Sholtzlach that the Bahag is right. That the Olin Sholtzlach are Potter min ha'maiser. So you see, it's not even considered to be Dino ki Yerek, because Yerek is Chayv Nafrasha Drabanan. And yet you're a son of Bracha, Bar Priyadama. So it is Priyadama as far as Bracha, but not as far as Maiser is concerned. So you see that the Rush writes, what I thought was difficult, Bachas Gedolos, is not really difficult at all, because you even see from our Gemara, and the Alei Hatzlav, that one can distinguish in Bracha, and the Chi of Hafrasha. Thus he pointed out, the Madari Antif writes, but what do you mean? The Rush said this is clear from the case of Kafrisin. And don't you see from those cases that the Chi of Meister goes hand in hand with the Chi of Abracha? Perhaps, again, according to the Rush, one could answer what exactly is the Torah maintains. And that's as follows. That when it comes to the Chi of Bracha, The chiyuv bracha is only mikvah on that which is considered to be ikar hapri. That's the lashon that the Torah uses in Reish Beis. The ikar hapri, the primary fruit. Our Gemara simply says the following. When it comes to the case of the kafrisin, when it comes to the husk, you're potter min hamaiser. If you're potter min hamaiser, so certainly you cannot argue that that is the ikar hapri. And therefore, the machlokes between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Akiva is of course relevant. If kafrisin would be potter min hamaiser, there's no possibility at all that a person could recite the bracha bar priya eitz. To that extent, of course, they are linked. If niftru min hamaiser, so therefore certainly you cannot turn around and now say that that is the ikar hapri on which you can recite the bracha bar priya eitz. The avyonos are considered to be the ikar hapri. Vaharaya, that the avyonos are chayiv in maiser. So therefore, that halacha doesn't necessarily mean that there's an absolute equation between maaser and bracha. But the fact that you can have two types of fruits that are produced by a tree, and one is chayiv and maaser and one is not, according to Rabbi Akiva, the avyonos are chayiv and maaser, kafrisin are potem and maaser. So therefore, obviously, the bracha, the berachas ha'eitz, were relegated to the avyonos and not to the kafrisin. However, when it comes, for example, to the case of the Shkei Demarim, there, the Shkei Dim are considered to be the Ikar Hapri. It's not as though that you have a tree that produces, right, Evyonos, it produces Kafrisin, and now we want to ask ourselves that, which is the Ikar Hapri on which we are Koveh the Bracha Bar Pihayis? The tree produces shkedim. So some of the shkedim, right, are tovim, some of the shkedim are marim. It's not a separate min at all. The shkedim itself are considered to be part of the ikar hapri. It's not that there is another min that it produces where you would say that that is primary. This is considered to be that which is secondary. In which case, of course, the bracha is considered to be a berachas ha'eitz. It is only kafrisin that the Gemara writes that you can't argue that kafrisin are potter min hamaiser because it's not considered to be the ikar hapri and at the same time you recite a bracha bar priya eitz. But in shkei demarim one could envision that of course you recite a bracha priya eitz. And that's what the Rosh continues and says the following. The raya from the case of the alei hatzlaf is to indicate that we don't categorically assume that the chiyuv hafrash and the chiyuv bracha go hand in hand. Because when it comes to alei hatzlav, there is a bracha which is recited, it is pri hadama, even though there is no chiyuv hafrasha. So that's the Rosh's raya, that the two halachos don't always go hand in hand. That b'chor is the answer to the kasha of the Madani Yantif, and that is once you see that the Torah writes, not all peros require the bracha bar praise, but only the ikar hapri. In such a case, then you can understand that in the case of kafrisin, it is not ikar hapri, and then the bracha is considered to be that which is the bar pri hadama. Pashup shat, that's the chiddush, right, of the Rosh. In fact, if you look at the Rosh in our parak a little bit later, the Rosh in here in Perek Vav, in Simen Vav, the Rosh suggests the following Chiddush, that in that case of the Rambam, in the case of the Sukkar, there the Brach is Bar Pri Ha'etz. What apparently do you see according to the Rosh? That you don't require that first approach. That Suras HaPri, which is produced by the eitz, but rather the second approach, called hagadol ba'eitz. Anything that is part of the tree itself, In principle, that should warrant the bracha Barapre Eitz. Well, if that's true, why is it that on the Olin, and why is it on the Tamaros, why is it on the Kafrisin, that we don't recite the bracha Barapre Eitz? The answer is the following, exactly as the Tur said in Reish Beis, that as far as bracha is concerned, you require Ikar HaPri, Ikar HaPri. It can't be labeled as a secondary product of the Eitz. So when it comes to the case of the Shkei Demarim, or when it comes to the case of the Sukkar, that is the Ikar HaPri. The cane produces sugar. The same thing is true of this tree that produces shkedim. In such a case, the bracha is considered to be a berachas ha'eitz. That's the chiddush of the Rosh Hashitah. So even though our Gemara seems to assume that these halachas go together, so again, as he pointed out, that equation may not be absolute. As the Rosh points out, one could distinguish, right? The Gemara just means to say the following, that the fact that Kafrisin or Potim and Amaiser is an indicator that's not considered to be the case of the Ikar HaPri. So again, in terms of our Gemara, on the Olin, on the Tamaros, our Gemara to make a bracha Barapri Adama. According to the first approach, the Ikar HaDan, the Gaonim, according to the Rambam, it's very simply, of course, the Olim and the Tamaros say Berachas Adama, because these are not peros hayotze min ha'eitz. These are considered to be that which is gufon shel ilanim. And therefore the bracha is considered to be that which is a berchas adama. According to the Tur and the Rosh, you have to argue differently. Gufon shel ilanim in principle could warrant a bracha, a berachas ha'eitz. The reason in the case of the olin in tomorrow's the bracha is adama, because that is not considered to be the Ikar HaPri. So therefore, the two Hagdaras of Pri HaEitz, everyone agrees that Olin and Tamaros, as our Gemara says, the Bracha is a Berachas Adama, but the question is to why? Is it simply because it is not a Pri, finished? Or no, despite the fact that it's a Pri, but there, it is not the Ikar HaPri, it is not the primary Pri, as the Tur and the Rosh assume. And therefore, Olin and Tamaros are worse than the case of Sukkah. In that instance, the bracha is considered to be a birchas adama. In the shita of Rabbi Akiva of our Gemara, the Gemara tells us that the case of the kafrisin, the husks, are potter min hamaiser, they're mutar mishum arla, and you don't recite the birchas ha'eitz. The Ramban in our sugya writes the following Kiddush, that the Kafrisin, according to Rabbi Akiva, do not even have the status of a Pri, right, at all. See, if you argue, again, that the Kafrisin are Chayiv and Maiser, Chayiv and Arla, there's still a basis to assume when it comes to Bracha, it's a Berchas Bari Pri Hadama, because it is not considered to be the Ikar HaPri. Rabbi Akiva, however, maintains, Potter min HaMaiser, Mutarin Ba'arla, and of course then the Bracha is not Barei Pri HaEitz. The Ramban writes the following Chiddush, that that's because, right, we treat the Kafrisim, right, as just a growth, similar to a Yerek, the Ramban writes. It's not treated as a Pri at all. And therefore, this is not an exception that the Bracha is considered to be a Birchas Adama, but it's Potter Maiser, it's Mutar Ba'arla, because it's not even treated as a Pri whatsoever. That's what the Ramban writes. According to what we just described in the Tur and the Rosh, very simply, in the Kafrisin, when it comes to, right, Bracha, it is not considered to be the Ikar HaPri, and therefore the bracha certainly, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a bracha Barei Pri Adama. The reason that it's potter min ha-maisa and potter min ha-arla, in such a case, one would have to explain that which is differently. Boshem Shat, according to the Torah, follows that the kafrisin is not chayiv in maisa or in arla, because after all, this is not considered to be machal ha-miyuchad la-achilas adam. This is not normally the part of the tree, right, which is used for general human consumption. Right, people eat the avionos, the berry, but not the outer husk. So therefore, when it comes to the cases of Arla, when it comes to the case of Maiser, they are completely excluded. When it comes to the Chiyuv Bracha, of course that's true. Because the sheet of the Tur, the sheet of the Rosh, is the Bracha requires a step beyond even being a Pri, which is Machal Adam. It requires that which is considered to be the Ikar HaPri. We'll have to discuss, because the Gemara, as mentioned, is going to discuss the Kafrisin from somewhat of a different angle, and that is the fact that true in and of itself, it doesn't have full Chashivos, yeah, but nonetheless, isn't there a status of that which is called a Shomer HaPri? That in certain respects, the fact that it's used to preserve and to service the pre itself, in such a case, that itself should elevate its status. So this is what we'll have to see, that concept of Shomer the pre. Certainly that's relevant when it comes to issues of Tum and Tara, but how relevant is it when it comes to Inyanei Brachos, the concept of that which is considered to be, right, a Shomer the pre. And then take a look, if you can, on Amud Beis, we had mentioned the applications of Kol HaMeiko Ba'aretz, Halacha Kamosa B'chutz La'aretz. Right, Tosfos writes that doesn't apply to every single machlokes. Right, and that's the point. Take a look if you can for tomorrow with the Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish discusses, apparently you see this does not parallel the principle of a Safek Midivrei Sofrim, simply is considered to be that which is Lekum. So maybe we'll just briefly discuss tomorrow the issue of Shomer Lepri, and then we'll go on to discuss the Gemara and Daf Amud Vav Amud Beis, now the bracha of Bari Minei Mezonos. Okay, but if you can, take a look at that tour, right, very fundamental, that even if something is a pre, when it comes to Maiser and Arlo, not necessarily when it comes to brachos, there you require Iker HaPri, in which case, that is not true of Kafrisim, but it could be true, right, of the other cases, such as the case of Sukkar and the case of Shekei Bimari. Okay. Reception earlier, so I'm sorry that she didn't start on time.